Pastor had given me the opportunity to preach, and I'm very thankful for that. And that's what we're here to do, is to study God's Word. And if you guys have any questions for me after the service about our ministry or about our family, I can tell you all kinds of cool stuff about growing up there. I've been face-to-face with elephants and lions. All kinds of stuff that you just wouldn't even be able to imagine. But we are here to study God's Word, so find me after and ask me those questions. Matthew chapter 15. This is a passage that I have just come to love it, to be honest with you. You get a glimpse of Christ that normally he doesn't show. And I'll tell you, we have all kinds of wild customs over in Kenya. And one of them that almost every tribe has adopted, that is, if a dog comes to you while you're eating and you look at it and it looks at you, then you have to feed it. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be cursed or you'll have bad luck or something. So I can't tell you how many times I've been so thankful for the dogs when I'm given stuff like raw goat intestines to eat and stuff, and the dogs are just there. I can just give them something. But, you know, if you think about that dog, he depends on that master for his survival, okay? Growing up, I had like 20 dogs. We had hunting dogs, and so I had about 20 dogs, and man, feeding those things was always a chore. But, you know, they depend on their master to give them what they need. And I just, I can't stop thinking, we have a little dog. It literally weighs probably about 2 pounds. It's super tiny. And every time we sit down at the dinner table, that thing comes around and starts begging for food. And so my Kenyan side is like, okay, well, I have to feed this thing, you know. And anyway, but it comes and begs. And I want you to keep that in mind when we read these few verses. Okay, but the Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." If you don't mind, I'd like to just have a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture that you've given us, Father. I pray that you will just get the glory from your reading of your word. In your name I pray, amen. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read this, or when I do read it, is our attitudes towards people in need. You know, this lady comes, and she has a need that she knows that only Jesus can fill. And the disciples, the people closest to Jesus, probably the people best fitted to tell about him, wanted to send her away. And, you know, it talks about how Jesus, at first he ignored her, and I'll get to that. But the disciples, she kept on crying after him and crying after him. That disciples, finally, they're annoyed. They're thinking, man, this lady is annoying us. Christ, just send her away. And especially in Kenya, we come in contact with a lot of need. And it's something that we have to be real conscious about, is being sensitive to people's needs. Because if we just shut them out, you know, this lady, if the disciples had just, you know, forbid her to come to Christ or, you know, sent her away, then her daughter would not have been healed. And, you know, it's real easy for us as believers to distract from Jesus Christ and to even stand in his way sometimes. But as I continue reading this passage, I see a lot about the character of Christ and how he even treats us as believers. And at first, you know, this lady comes to him, says she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David." She comes to him knowing that only he can help her. She gives him the homage and the respect and, you know, that he deserves. She acknowledges who he is. And it says, but he, in verse 23, it says, "But he answered her not a word." Okay? That doesn't really seem like Christ. And then, you know, it says the disciples came unto him, besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, if you'll recall, customs during this time, Jesus probably wouldn't have even been speaking to a woman in the first place, especially a Gentile woman. And but then when he answers, he first ignores her. Then when he finally does answer, he says, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And what she in her mind hears is, "I'm not even here to help you. You're a Gentile." And so imagine how she must have felt. She comes to Christ, acknowledges who he is, you know, and he ignores her. She comes, you know, begging for him to help, and she's just consistent and persistent. And he says, "Well, I'm not here to help you." Verse 25, it says, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She came to him in worship. And what did he do? "But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Does it sound like Christ would be a man who would ignore you, tell you he's not here to help you, and even call you a dog? It doesn't sound like Christ, you know, but we'll find that Christ is testing this lady's faith. And my friends, your faith will be tested in this Christian life. I'll tell you something. If this lady had given up when Christ was ignoring her, she would have walked away without a blessing. If she would have walked away when the disciples wanted to send her away, her daughter would have never been healed. But she knew that Christ had what she needed, and that if she could just get a tiny crumb, that's what she says. She says, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." If you can imagine the, for lack of a better term, the heavenly feast, the opportunities that God gives you, the blessings that are in store for you, that he truly has to give to his faithful servants, if you can imagine that, and you can picture it all belongs to your master. And this lady, she recognized that if she could just have a piece of that, then her daughter would be made whole. And, you know, she didn't argue with Christ when he called her a dog. You know, that term dog was a really popular term from the Jews to the Gentiles. But, you know, if somebody called me a dog that I was wanting to help them, I probably wouldn't have asked them for too much more help. But, you know, she says, "Truth, Lord, you know what, I am a dog." You know, we need to recognize just who we are and who God is, which is exactly what this woman did. She recognized that she was unworthy of the master's feast, but yet she continued to be persistent, begging for just a small morsel of what Christ truly has to offer. My mind comes back to our little dog running around just begging me, scratching me, begging me just for the tiniest little bite. And I have all this stuff that I can give her. But you know what? If she walks away, and right before I'm about to hand it to her, she goes away hungry. I'll tell you something. Look what Christ said to this lady. Verse 28. It says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." My friends, when you have persistence in your faith, and you recognize who you are and who Christ is and just exactly what he can do for you, you'll be amazed at what he will do for you. It tells her right here, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Imagine the power behind that statement. Amen. Imagine the power that statement can have in your life. But it all comes down to your persistence in faith and obedience. And so, you know, he told this woman, "Great is thy faith." Let me tell you something. Faith begins in salvation. I got saved out of a college lifestyle. I probably shouldn't even be alive, to be honest with you. And Christ, he saved me, and he'll do the same for you guys tonight if you don't know him. If you don't know Christ, I hope you come to the same realization that I did, that you will die and go to hell. Okay? That's the reality. And you'll face God in judgment. But you don't have to face him in judgment and fear. You can face him in judgment in confidence. And you can believe today that Christ died for you, that he's able to forgive you of your sins. And, the pastor, I'm sure, will be very glad to share that plan with you, and I will too. But thank you guys for allowing us to be here. I encourage you guys to have persistence in your faith and to pray for us. Thank you.
Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and have a moment of prayer. Thank you, Brother Michael. Even as thou wilt. That's a powerful one word, wilt. I know it's old English, but I love it. The idea being our faith. Unbelievable. Our Father and our God, tonight as we come together as a church, Father, there is such a great need for the gospel right across the street, right next door, in the cubicle next to ours, in the city just down the road, and the country on the opposite side of the world. Father, you've called us to be witnesses at both Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Father, I pray tonight that you would extend our faith. You would grow our faith tonight to be a part of your ministry here and abroad. Father, let us look tonight also to our heart and check the status of our faith. Grow us. Whatever the need is tonight, Father, I pray you'd speak to every heart and every soul in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open tonight, brothers and sisters. Won't you take a moment and pray? As a church family, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper here in the coming weeks. The Bible says we are to examine ourselves. We're to judge ourselves. We'll not be judged. Tonight, won't you come and start to speak to the Lord about your heart and about your condition between you and your Savior? Won't you come tonight and speak to God and start to prepare yourself now? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Brothers and sisters, over the next couple of weeks, I want to challenge you to read your Bible and pray, to ask the Lord, is there anything between me and my Savior? That as the church membership assembles, that we'll be the most holy. The night when the church body will be clean. How long has it been since you were clean? I mean, really. I'm humbled by the thought of it. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Maybe tonight you've got a burden, a health issue, a financial issue, something. Won't you come and let me pray with you? Our Father and our God, I am thankful tonight for the message and the messenger. I'm thankful, Father, that this dear lady, who we do not even know her name, but Father, she approached your Son persistently and in faith, knowing who he was and is, knowing who you are, humbled herself and showed worship and gave worship. And Father, came seeking help from the only one who could provide it. I pray, Father, tonight that that would be our challenge for this week. God, that you would stir us from our complacency. And God, you would show us what it is you can do. Jesus, you said this was your church. You said that you would build it. And tonight we ask, as a body, as a group tonight, we ask that you would build this church for your glory. Jesus, we ask that you would perfect your will in us as people. We ask that you would glorify yourself in and through our life, and that through this, your name would be exalted. And tonight I pray for those, Father, that live next door to me personally who do not know you as their Savior. I pray, God, that you would save their soul. You would give me the opportunity to witness to them, to tell how Christ died for them. Father, I'm thankful for the Hopper family. I'm thankful for this missionary and his dear wife and their family. I'm thankful, Father, for the testimony of his family and their faithfulness. I ask, Father, that you would meet their physical and financial needs. I ask, Father, that you would keep them safe as they crisscross this country, looking for other like-minded churches to support him, to provide an income that they may go in our place, partnering with us to be a witness there in East Africa. We pray, Father, that you would keep them safe from accidents and disease and mean men. We pray, Father, that you would provide them soundness in their vehicle as well as in their health. We pray for their child, God, that this child would be healed and be healthy. And Father, that you would use this family for your glory. We pray, God, for these many churches that have been started there, brothers and sisters that we will not meet until we hit glory. We pray, Father, that you would bless them. We pray, Father, that you would burden them for the loved ones and the lost in their lives. And Father, that you would continue to reach into that dark continent, into the corners and byways and hedges and places where even Christians fear to go. I pray, God, you would take your gospel to that lost and dying place, just as you're trying to take it here to this lost and dying place we call Alexandria. Father, there are people that ride by our church every day. There are folks who walk on the sidewalk out front and see our sign. There are people within eyesight of this steeple, Father, who do not know you. Father, they receive things on their door. They've run into our people at the grocery store. They've been witnessed to, but yet, God, they have not come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I pray, God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would move upon our community, and God, you would save souls for your glory. It is your will that none would perish. It is your will, God, that none would die and go to hell, but that all would come to repentance. Let us be a part of your plan. Use us, O Father. And tonight, as we go from this place, we ask, dear Father, that you would give us someone to witness to. Father, that as we cross paths with people tomorrow, and even tonight, if we stop on the way home, God, that you would remind us of your mandate to be a witness. And Father, that you would not allow us to rest nor come complacent in our activities and lose sight of the mission you've given us to do. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. May